Okay, we're beginning here on the top of Samachet and Aleph, three lines down. Dorish Rava. Rava was Doresh in public. Isha Chopefet Be'erv Shabbat. A woman can prepare herself for her Tvilah. We already discussed yesterday what Chopefet means and what it entails. Ve'tovelet Be'motzei Shabbat. And she can go to the mikveh on Motzei Shabbat. So here you see that you don't have to do the Chafifa, the preparations, immediately before the Tvilah. You can't have some sort of break in between, especially in a situation like this where it's necessary for her to do it on Motzei Shabbat and she's pressed for time. Therefore, she can do the Chafifa on Erev Shabbat. Amalei Rav Papa the Rava, v'hash shalach Ravin b'garte, didn't we get a letter from Ravin, Isha lo tachuf b'Erev Shabbat v'tidvol b'Motzei Shabbat? So your woman is not allowed to do what you just suggested. She's not allowed to prepare on Erev Shabbat and then go to the mikvah on Motzei Shabbat. And you have to wonder, how is it possible that a woman is chofefet bayom, can do the cleansing and preparations during the day, vitovelet balayla, and then goes to the mikveh at night? Habiinat, because we require tekev lechafifa tvila. Immediately after you do the chafifa, she goes into the mikveh. Veleka, and that's lacking in this situation. So the tama alatzmecha, we'll get back to, it's very hard to understand what the Gemara is saying. Is it saying that also should not be the case? Meaning just like you can't do it on Erev Shabbat, for Motzei Shabbat, so too you can't do it during the day for that night. And that's what Matam Al-Tzmecha is. You gotta wonder how you could do something like this, given the necessity for the Tkifa of Chafifa and Tvilah. Or does Tama Al-Tzmecha mean simply that even though this seems unusual, nevertheless, we do permit it. So Tama Atzmecha can be read in one of two ways. It can be read as, this isn't possible. Or it can be read in the way that it seems strange, but we do allow this possibility. And then we'll have to explain. It'll come out in the final piece of the Gemara here, in terms of what the halacha is, and you'll see the different ways to read it. So Hadar Uke Rava Amora Le. So then Rava came and put in Amora. Again, that's like a megaphone. Someone who's going to be help him, Doresh Barabim, he whispers whatever he wants to this individual. Then this individual broadcasts it to the Am, sometimes translating it into the colloquial, and sometimes just simply being a megaphone for that which Rava had said. So here he's going to be Doresh in public again, Vidarash. And now he was Doresh Shuvpam, Dvarim Shamarti Livdechem Ta'otein Biyadi. That which I said before was a mistake. Ram Kach Amru Mishmei de Rav Yochanan. This is what they say over in the name of Rav Yochanan. Even though when Rav Papa quoted it, he simply had a letter from Ravin, but it was clear that when those individuals like Ravin, Rav Dimi, went to Eretz Yisrael and were coming back to Bavel, they were traveling back and forth, they were bringing Memrod from Eretz Yisrael, where the Morad Atra was Rav Yochanan. And so he assumes that Ravin's letter is coming in the name of Rav Yochanan. Isha lo tachuf b'Erev Shabbat v'tidvo b'motzei Shabbat. A woman may not get prepared on Erev Shabbat and then go to the mikvah on Motzei Shabbat. V'tama al natzmecha eich chofefet v'yom v'tovelet b'layla. And then you have to wonder how she does chafifa during the day and then goes to the mikvah at night. Habina samuch l'chafifa v'yila. Because you need to have immediately juxtaposed to the chafifa, the tefillah. The lekan that's lacking in this case. Ve'ilchata. Now this is the halacha. Isha chofefet bayom, v'tovelet balayva. The halacha is that you can cleanse, you can get ready during the day, and then only go to the mikveh at night. Ve'ilchata, isha lo tachuf ela balayva. And then the halacha is also that a woman may only do her preparations at night. Kasha ilchata, hilchata. The two halachot are clearly contradictory. One is saying that she can do the preparations during the day and go to the mikveh at night. And the other one is saying that she can only do the preparations at night. How do we resolve that? Lokasha. Hadefshar. Hadaloefshar. That is if it's possible. That is if it is impossible. The Gemara here is completely unclear because the Gemara never defines, first of all, what is Efshar and which is Lo Efshar. Which of the two options is Efshar and Lo Efshar? And the Gemara also never defines the situation or the circumstance in which that is the case. And last of all, yesterday the Gemara Paskin seemingly that Reimar gave the halacha that we go the Chumrak or Rav Chista and the Chumrak or Rav Yemar, which indicated that you could prepare in advance Erev Shabbat for Motzei Shabbat Erev Shabbat for Motzei Shabbat Yom Tov. You had all of these options that were given yesterday, and there it seemed to be okay. How do you reconcile that with what was said here? The three different approaches in the Rishonim as to how to deal with this. Rashi in the Balei Tosafot brings a similar view. Rashi says, V'hada Efshar, L'chuf Beyom, Chufev Beyom. Efshar means that she has time to do it during the day. We would opt for her doing it during the day. Hadalo Efshar, when it's not possible for do this, L'chuf, during the daytime, Kugon. For an example, Motzei Yom Tov or Motzei Shabbat, Lo Tachuf Ela B'Layla, then you do it at night. So Rashi says that the optimal situation is doing it during the day. And that is because she can do it without duress, she's not under pressure, she's not rushed in any way, and therefore she'll do the Chafifa properly. So on the day leading into the night of the Mikveh, on that day she should do the Chafifa, which again we spoke about, whether with the hot water, combing out the hair, rubbing the whole body down to make sure there's no chatzitzot, and all the other things that come along with the preparations for going to the mikveh. So Rashi says the optimal is to do it during the day and then go to the mikveh at night. When you can't do that, when it's impossible, for instance, if it falls out on Motzei Shabbat, her tevilah, falls out on Motzei Yom Tov, her tevilah, then we opt for second best, which is to do it at night, to do it the same time she's going to the mikveh. There, we don't love it optimally because then she's under pressure because she wants to get it done, go to the mikveh and get home. So there's a lot of pressure on her, and especially if you're starting on Motzei Shabbat, Motzei Yom Tov, where it's late already. So there, we would prefer if you don't do it then, but because here you have no choice, that's what you do. And then as Tosafot says, according to this, it's clear here that the Gemara is rejecting that which was said before when we said Hilchot Rav Chista Rav Yemar. That goes out the window. That halacha is rejected by this Gemara. And there is no option for doing it on Erev Yom Tov or Erev Shabbat. The only options are either you do it during the day for that night, or you do it on the night of the Tvila itself. As Tosafot says, Mikomakom, the Perish Rashi, Nire, Dmuta Lachuf Beleil Tvila. It's allowed to do it on the night of the Tvila. Shetov La Yoteh Lachuf Beyom, Mipnei Shimhum Ala Beitah. Just better, or the optimal situation is that you do it during the day. So Tosafot points out, he doesn't think Rashi is saying that if you do it at night, it's pasul or it doesn't work. He's saying that optimally, we'd rather you do it during the day because you have more time. If you do it at night, it's suboptimal, but it works in that if it's necessary, or bid the avad. If she didn't do it during the day, then she could do it at night. Tosafot then entertains the possibility that we don't reject that view of Rabbi Yemar before, because there is one other scenario that Rashi is not addressing, and maybe that is where the halacha is like Rav Yemar that we saw before, which is in a situation where her Leil Tevilah is on Motzei Shabbat, but Motzei Shabbat is Yom Tov. So here she has to go to the mikveh on Motzei Shabbat, and it's a Yom Tov. It's a Yom Tov after Shabbat. So in that situation, she's really in a bind. She can't do it during the day because it's Shabbat. She can't do it at night because it's Yom Tov. So the Chafifa can't be done on Yom Tov itself. So now she's left without any option to do it during the day because of Shabbat, during the night because of Yom Tov. In that situation, that scenario, you could do it on Erev Shabbat. That is the case which we saw in yesterday's daf, where we saw a Maimar paskening like Rav Yemar and Rav Chista Lechumra. That would be the situation in which it would be permissible. And similarly, if you have 2 days of Rosh Hashanah after Shabbat, and her Leil Tevilah is on Sunday night, she can't do the Chafifa on Sunday because that's Yom Tov. She can't do Chafifa the night and the night after Sunday because that's Yom Tov Sheni. And the only way for do Chafifa would do it on Erev Shabbat. So those will be the scenarios where we paskin like Rav Yemar. And that way you reconcile all of these three different halakhot, and that is the view of Rashi. The She'iltot, the Rav Achai, in Parshat Achrimot, has a different view, and he says that the Efshar is Lachuf B'Leil Tevilah. The Efshar case, where we say that the optimal situation is to do it on the night of the Tevilah, meaning that we would prefer you do the Chafifa when you're going to the Mikveh, meaning on the night itself, when you're going to the Mikveh, we want you to do the Chafifa, as long as it is a weekday, then we don't want you moving the Chafifa away from the Tevilah at all. That's what the Gemara says over here, that we want it to be tekef lechafifa tefillah. We want it immediately afterwards. And so the optimal scenario is that she does the chafifa at night and then goes to the mikveh. The suboptimal is a situation where she can't do it. Hadalo efshar, where's that case? Kagon shalel tefillah yom tov o shabbat. If her tefillah is on Friday night or the first night of yom tov, then she does it biyom. She does it on the day before, leading in. Erev Shabbat, Erev Yom Tov, leading into the night of Shabbat, the night of Yom Tov. That would be the situation in which you would do it biyom. So he flips the meaning of Efshar and Lo Efshar from what Rashi said. Rashi said that the case of Efshar is when you can do it during the day. We prefer you do it during the day than rather than night. Lo Efshar is when you can't do it during the day, like Motzei Shabbat, we have to do it at night. The Shulchan says just the opposite. The Efshar case is when you can do it on the night of the Tefillah, we prefer that. Lo Efshar is a case where you can't do it the night of the Tefillah, for it's like Friday night, or the first night of Yom Tov where it can't be done, then we allow you to do it during the day. And similarly, if you have a situation in which it is Motzei Shabbat, that is Yom Tov, then you'd also do it on Erev Shabbat. Those are all cases of Lo Efshar, and therefore we allow you to be makdim in those situations. So that would be the exact opposite of what Rashi says. And according to the Shiltot, we'd prefer if the woman did the chafifa on the night of her tefillah. That would be the optimal situation. For Rashi, the optimal is to do it during the day. So now, how do we reconcile? So it's interesting, the Balei Tosafot bring a somewhat compromised position over here in order to deal with it, which is, the divrei Shiltot, kozman shetuchal, what is the practice of the women today? That they start during the day and they wait in the bathhouse in the mikveh until nightfall. Then even according to the shiltot, it's fine to do the chafifa in the daytime because there's going to be nothing that happens between the chafifa and the tefillah. They're just going to wait around until nightfall and then do the tefillah. That is when you do it during the daytime. But let's say, and then you leave the bathhouse, and then you come back to the mikveh at a later time. That's where it's problematic. It comes up with this term called chafifa arichta, which is an extended chafifa. So even if you start during the day, as long as it continues into the night and you go to the mikveh, even according to the shiltot, that would be optimal. So it's almost a compromise between Rashi and the Shiltot in the sense that we have you do it immediately before the Tevilah, but we allow you to start during the daytime like Rashi, but that way you get daytime like Rashi, you have plenty of time, but you also have the Shiltot covered because you don't leave the Merchatz after you've gone in until nighttime and then into the Tevilah. That's the view of the Shiltot. There's actually a third view, which is the view of the Rabbeinu Tam. Rabbeinu Tam Perish, V'tama al Atzmecha. So I said to you that that phrase of Tama al Atzmecha is something of a question mark. For Rashi, Tama al Atzmecha means, even though this is what we do, nevertheless, it's strange or it's unusual that we do it, but we do it because that's the optimal way or that's because we're forced to do it. According to the Shiltot, Tama al Atzmecha is, you can't do it. Unless you are forced or compelled to do it, then we won't let you do it during the day and then at night. So the Rabbeinu Tam perish v'tama atzmachazu kefel mila. It's a duplication. Klamar, heyach ata umer davar zeh. How do you possible that you could say such a thing? Shishachofev beyom utuvelet balayel motzei shabbat. How can it be that a woman does the chafifa on the day and then goes to the mikveh on motzei mishabbat? V'abeinan samuch lechafifa tefila. Don't you need to do it adjacent, juxtaposed to each other? And then, based on that, the Rabbeinu Tam says the Efshar and the Efshar are speaking about not a regular weekday, but the Efshar and the Efshar are speaking about Erev Shabbat and Motzei Shabbat. That's in a case where it's Erev Shabbat, and she's going to the mikvah on Motzei Shabbat. In that case, lo tachuf ela b'layla on Motzei Shabbat, because we don't want her doing it early on Erev Shabbat. She has to go to the mikveh on Motzei Shabbat, then she doesn't do it early on Erev Shabbat. She does it on Motzei Shabbat itself. The case where it's Efshar, that is when you have the possibility of doing it on Motzei Shabbat because Motzei Shabbat is a weekday. It's a whole day. So then we don't allow you to do it on Erev Shabbat. The Lo Efshar, according to the Rabbeinu Tam, is a case where it turns out to be Motzei Shabbat is a Leil Tefillah, but it's also Yom Tov. In that case, you can't do it on Motzei Shabbat. There we allow you to be Makdimit to Erev Shabbat. So the Rabbeinu Tam says the Efshar and Lo Efshar here are not dealing with regular weekdays. It's not dealing with the case when you're in the middle of the week and you're deciding you do it during the day, you're doing it at night. It's not even addressing that at all. It's addressing one situation, and that is the situation of Erev Shabbat to Motzei Shabbat. And there are two possibilities. One possibility is that you can do it on Motzei Shabbat. In that situation, where it's Efshar, we're going to say, do it on Motzei Shabbat. There's the other option where you can't do it on Motzei Shabbat because Motzei Shabbat is a Yom Tov. In that situation, you will do it Me'erev Shabbat. And that's what the Rabbeinu Tam says the Gemara is saying over here. And the Tamal Atzmecha is not talking about a regular situation. It's talking about Tamal Atzmecha. How could it be that we would allow you to go on Erev Shabbat when your Tevilah is on Motzei Shabbat? And that's what it means, Bayom U'Balayla. It doesn't mean a regular weekday Bayom U'Balayla. It means Bayom and Erev Shabbat for Laila on Motzei Shabbat. And therefore, the whole Gemara here is only addressing that situation where you're dealing with doing it like a day and a half in advance. That's the situation the Gemara is dealing with, Efshar and Lo Efshar. It's not dealing with the weekday situation at all. It says, V'lo ayre klal ha-shas v'yisro chafifa shacharit v'tvila ha-verdit lo ha-tzakad yom. And the Gemara doesn't even address the issue of when you're on the same day, when you're doing it on the day before the tvila. And he says that the Gemara doesn't give any opinion with regards to a weekday, and then you would be then subjected to whether it's Rashi or the Shiltot, which one is the optimal or the better situation. Both of them seem to be offered, according to the Rabbeinu Tam, both of them seem to be equally optimal solutions, because that's not too far away. Too far away is when you're doing it the day before, like on Erev Shabbat, for Motzei Shabbat. When you're doing it on the day itself, for that night, that makes no difference whether you do it during the day or during it at night. The Gemara is indifferent about that. It's not even addressing that situation. The last scenario that it happens to be that the Re mentions over here is if a woman's Leil Tefillah is on Tisha B'Av. If she is supposed to go to the mikveh on the night of Tisha B'Av, the same would be true of Yom HaKippurim, the night of Yom HaKippurim. He says that our practice is not to go on Leil Tisha B'Av, and that's even though there are opinions, and the Gemara says it explicitly, that one can go to the mikveh on Leil Tisha B'Av because Tefillah Bizmana is a mitzvah. But the Re says that that's only true in situations where there's a reason to go to the mikveh. Back in their day when they were keeping Tumah and Tahara, there's a reason to go to the mikveh on night of Tisha B'Av because of the tarot that she will work with on Tisha B'Av. On the other hand, today where there's no issue of Tumah and Tahara, the only issue is to be muter the Baala, then there's no reason to go to the mikveh on the night of Tisha B'Av. And therefore, we invoke the principle that it is Kedayu Beit Elokeinu LaBed Alav Tefillah Achat B'Shana. The Korban HaBayit, the Beit HaMikdash, is worth losing one tefillah a year for the remembrance and for the proper attitude towards the Beit HaMikdash, that we forego the tefillah in that situation. And therefore, if a woman is going to go to the mikveh on Motzei Tisha B'Av, if she can, and the best option is for her to deal with the Chafifa on the Motzei Tisha B'Av, because you can't bathe, you can't get ready on Tisha B'Av itself, because it's an Isur Rechitza. So the best thing, or the optimal situation, would be to do it on Motzei Tisha B'Av. He says, but if there's going to be no time to do it on Motzei Tisha B'Av, then she should do it on Erev Tisha B'Av, and then repeat again on Motzei Tisha B'Av, which is the situations in which she does it early, like this, she should repeat it again on Motzei Tisha B'Av, but it'll be a much faster process. Because if she did on Erev Tisha B'Av, she's taking care of all the major issues, then you just have a quick check on Motzei Tisha B'Av and it'll go in a much more expeditious fashion. And that's the way to handle the issues of Tisha B'Av and also Yom HaKippurim, where there is an Isur Rechitza. Okay, now we move on to the next Mishnah. Nida Shbadkatz Ma Yom Shvi'i Shacharit. A woman who is a Nida, remember Mido, right? A woman is a Nida 7 days of Tumah. As soon as the 7 days are up, she can go to the mikveh on the night after the seventh day. But we need to know that she was poseket tuma, that she stopped seeing dam. We need some sort of called hefsek tahara, something that creates a change from her status with tuma into tahara. So the optimal situation would be where you did it benesh mashot. At the way end of your seventh day, you do a check, and benesh mashot, you are clear that there is no sighting. And that changes you from Yumei Tumah into Yumei Tahara, and then you go to the mikveh that night after the seventh day. But here, this woman did a bedikah on the morning of the seventh day, umatzah tohora. And when she did the check, she found herself to be tohora. Ben Hashmashot lo yifrisha. But Ben Hashmashot, she did nothing. Meaning that the last time she did a check was on the morning of the seventh day. Adachar yamim. Couple of days later, badka umatzah tmeah. She checks herself and finds herself tmeah. So in this situation, she went to the mikveh on the night after the seventh day based on the check on the morning of the seventh. And now she is tohora, or she thought she was tohora. Then 1, 2, 3, 4 days later, she does a check and she finds herself tmeah. Now this is during her yimei ziva. This is already her 11 days of yimei ziva. And she finds herself tmeah. Arhi b'cheskat tohora. She has a chazaka of being tohora from the time that she did the check on the morning of the seventh all the way till the time she checks now and finds herself to be tmeah. Now, obviously, on the remainder of the seventh, she's tmeah, because that's automatic. 7 days of nida, you're tmeah. But on the night after the seventh, when she went to the mikveh, she became Torah, and we assume she is Torah all the way until the time she checks and finds otherwise. That's based on a general principle that we don't expect a woman to see dam during her yimei ziva. She's considered to be a musleket damim. Therefore, since she checked and got a hefsek tara, even though it was early, we're going to rely on that hefsek tara to assume that she is Torah until we find evidence to the contrary. If she checked on the morning of the seventh day and found herself to be tmeah, and then ben hashmashot on the seventh day, going into the eighth day, she didn't do a check. 3, 4 days later, she does a check and finds herself to be Torah. Harizo b'cheskat tmeah. This woman has a chazaka of being tmeah because she never had a hefsek tara, because she never had a check that indicated that she had stopped seeing dam. The morning of the seventh, when she did check, she was still seeing dam. She can't assume that it stopped afterwards. We have no evidence that it stopped. And therefore, even though she 3, 4 days later finds herself to be Torah, in the interim, she's assumed to be tmeah until she provides us evidence to the contrary. She only gets that evidence 4 days later. That means that she's becheskat tmeah until she proves otherwise. Once she's reached that point where she has now a check and she's becheskat Torah, she can go to the mikveh and make herself Torah. But until that point, she's considered to be tmeah. And when she is tmeah, it is retroactive, the lesser of 24 hours in the last check. We'll have to understand which part of the Mishnah this is referencing to, because it doesn't make so much sense to be referencing to the last statement that we just made in the Mishnah. She has a fixed cycle, dayashata. Then she doesn't have to worry about the 24 hours retroactively. Then it's only prospective tuma. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Koshlo Yifrisha V'tara Mina Mincha Ulamala, Harizo B'chazkat Tmeah. Any woman who does not do a Hefsek Tara on the late side of the seventh day of her Yemei Nida, then she doesn't have a classification of a Hefsek Tara, and she is not Tehora. Now, Mina Mincha Ulamala is not clear when exactly that time is. From Rashi, it seems to be that the time period is Ben Hashmashot. Mina Mincha Ulamala means late on the day of the seventh. Going into Ben Hashmashot, that's when you're doing the check. You could understand Mina Mincha Ulamala means from Mincha Ketano, which means 2.5 hours before the end of the day, 2.5 shodz maniot before the end of the day. Or it could refer to Mincha Gdola, which would be any time after noon on the seventh day. Any one of those could be a plausible interpretation of what Rabbi Yehuda says. And there are Rishonim that say all of them. Although Rashi seems to favor, and this I think is the majority view of the Rishonim, is that it's very late on the day of the seventh, maybe even through Ben Hashmashot, which is the time that you do this Hefsek Tara, to ensure that you've stopped the Tara and you can go to the mikveh after the seventh day has been completed. So if she didn't do a check that late in the day, Arizu b'cheskat tmeah, that has a cheskat tumah. Komim omim, afilu b'shnaim l'nidata. Even if she was on her second day of her 7 days of nida, but ka matzah torah, she does a b'dikah and finds that she stopped citing dam, Ben Hashmashot lo yifrisha, and Ben Hashmashot, she doesn't do any check, u'lachazman badka matzat tmeah, and then 3, 4 days later, she does another check and finds herself tmeah, harizo b'chazkat teorah. She has a chazak of teorah. As Rashi notes over here, we have 3 different opinions in the Mishnah. We have the position of the Tanakama, who says that only a check on the seventh day is sufficient to give you a chazkat teorah. Because that's what the Tanakhama said. If you did it in the morning of the seventh, that's the earliest that they would consider to be okay for a Cheskat Tahara. Then you have the position of Rabbi Yehuda, which is that in the morning of the seventh doesn't work. You need to do it Ben Hashmashot. That's the only time that it works. If you don't do it Ben Hashmashot, you don't have Hefsek Tahara. Then you have the third Tana, the Chachamim, at the end of the Mishnah, who say that any time during your Mei Nidah, if you have a Hefsek Tahara, and you don't have any sighting after that, or noticeable sighting after that, that's enough. So even on the second day, you do a check, find no dam, and then you don't have any sighting of dam from there to forward, it will work as a hefsek tahara. When you reach the end of the seventh day and you go to the mikveh, it is sufficient. Those are the three different opinions we have in our Mishnah. Itmar, Rav Amar Zavavadai, but Levi Amar Zavasafek. Rav says she is definitely a Zava. I assume here it means a Zava Gidola or Zava Ktana. Levi says she is only a Safek. Ahai, on what part of the Mishnah are they referencing to? Ilema Reisha, if it's the first part of the Mishnah where she did a check on the morning of the seventh, and then she finds herself Tmeah 4 days later, then Arezo Becheskat Torah Ktani. Why would it matter? Why would you consider her to be a Safek Zava or even a Zava Ibadait if we assume that she is Torah? Doesn't make sense what they're saying. Ela Aseifa. It must be on the next line of the Mishnah where she did a check and found herself Tmeah, and then 4 or 5 days later she checks again and finds herself Tehorah, that she still has a Cheskat Tumah. So then, Bishlama Safek Zava Amrinan, I understand why Levi's position makes sense then. From the time that she checked on the seventh day, she was still citing Dam. And then when she checks 4 days later, she's no longer citing Dam. So maybe in the interim, she cited Dam during her Yemei Ziva. She's completed her 7 days of Yemei Nidah. She's already into Yemei Ziva. So maybe she saw Dam during Yemei Ziva. That would make her into a Safek Zava, whether it's a Zava Ktana or Zava Gdola, depending on the number of days that have elapsed. Ella Zavavadai, Nami, how could you call her a Zavavadai? Hare Batka Umatza Torah. When she did the check on the fourth day, she found herself Torah. So there had to be a point of transition between the Tmeyat to Torah. We don't know where that point of transition was. And therefore, I understand if it's a Safek, but how can you say that she's definitely a Zavak Dola? You don't know for certain that she saw Dam during her Yemei Ziva. You only know that she didn't get a Hefsek Tahara on her seventh day, and she does have a Hefsek Tahara now. That's all the information you have. You have no idea what happened in between. So why would you assume that she is a Zavak Vadai? Rav and Levi's statement was made independent. It wasn't on our Mishnah. It wasn't referencing our Mishnah at all. Referencing this case, which is Nidah b'yom shvi shacharit, and Nidah on her seventh day that checks on the morning of the seventh day umatzah tmeah and finds herself tmeah uben hashmashot lo hifrisha. Once again, ben hashmashot, she doesn't do any check. Ulacha yamin badka umatzah tmeah. After 3-4 days, she does a check and finds that she still is tmeah. That's where their machloket is. That's not one of the cases of our Mishnah. The cases of our Mishnah where she finds herself Torah then tmeah. Or Tmeah, then Torah. Here she finds herself Tmeah in both checks. Rav Amar Zavavadai. She had a Mayan Patuach on the seventh day. She does the check now. It looks like the Mayan is still Patuach. She's finding Ladam again. We could connect the dots. She was sighting on the seventh day. She's sighting today. In all likelihood, she had sightings in between, and therefore she's a Zavavadai. Levi Amar Zavasafek. It's still a Safek. We don't know for sure what happened. We have 2 data points. We have the data point on the seventh day, data point 4 days later. Both say Tmeah, but it doesn't tell you absolutely that what was in between was Tmeah. So yes, it would be circumstantial evidence that there might be some flow in between, but it's not absolutely certain, and therefore it is a Safek. Rav Amar Zavavadai came to me, Kar Nimtzei Tmeah, Vachshav Nimtzei Tmeah, Vadai. Connect the dots. You have 1 data point. 2nd data point, you connect the 2 data points, she was seeing Dam all the way through. Levi Amar, Safek Zavai, Imer Poseket, Beni Ubeni. Maybe she stopped having sightings in between. V'chein tana Levi b'matnita. And similarly, we have a brayta from Levi. Achar hayamim ben batka umatzah Torah. Ben batka umatzah tmeah. After her 7 days of Yemei Tumah, she does a check. And whether she finds herself to be Torah, or whether she finds herself to be tmeah, harezo safek zava. She is a safek zava. Assuming that she did a check on the seventh day, found herself tmeah, then she continues without any checks till 4 days later. When she does a check 4 days later, she can either find herself Tmeah, or she can find herself Torah. No matter which way she finds herself, Levi says that she's a Safek Zava, because we don't know what happened in the interim.
If it's Tmeya, you might connect the dots and say she was Tmeya, but there's still no absolute evidence that she was Tmeya. So she's a Sefek Zava. Even if she finds herself Torah on that fourth day afterwards, that doesn't mean she became Torah before that point in time. Could have been she was citing Dom, and this is the first time she is Torah. So that's also a Sefek Zava. So that would address two of the cases. The second case in the Mishnah, as well as the case that was brought, that Rav and Levi argued about. Both of those cases, Levi says she's a Sefek Zava. Right, now the Mishnah said, umitama me'et le'et, that she's mitama retroactively for 24 hours. Lema tabit yufta de Rava. That sounds like a problem for Rava. That is because we had two cases in the Mishnah. The Reisha case is where she does Hefsek Tara in the morning of the 7th, and then she has a sighting 4 days later when she does a check. The second case was where she does a check on the morning of the 7th and she is Tmeya, and then 4 days later she does a check in Torah. So obviously, in the second case of the Mishnah, where it says that she has a cheskat tmeya, May 8 is not relevant, because she was tmeya already for 7 days of Nida, and when she checked on the 7th day, she remained tmeya, and she continues to have a cheskat tuma, even when she checks in the 4 days later, she's Torah, she has a cheskat tuma. So May 8 is not a relevant terminology there. So it must be that that statement is on the first part of the Mishnah, and the first part of the Mishnah said that if she did a check on the morning of the 7th, she has a cheskat tara, she is good. When she does the check 4 days later, she finds herself Tmeya. We say she is Tmeya prospectively. Whatever was in between, she has a cheskat tara. On that, the Mishnah says that she has Tuma, not only prospectively, but also retroactively for 24 hours from the time that she finds herself Tmeya. The problem is that the time that she finds herself Tmeya is during her Yemei Ziva. It's during the 11 days of Yemei Ziva, about which Rava has already told us that she's considered to be a musuleket damim. She's someone who's considered to be a woman who doesn't cite dam. And therefore, she cites dam during that period of time. There shouldn't be any retroactive tumah. She'll only be prospective tumah because she's considered to be a musuleket damim. This Mishnah would be problematic for Rava. And that's what the Gemara says. Lema tavi tiyufta de Rava. This should be a strong refutation of the position of Rava. Dama Rava, lomar, sheinei isha mitamam eit leit, betochim eit zibata. A woman who has a sighting of dam during her Yemei Ziva only is prospective tuma, is not retroactive tuma. That's because she's classified like a woman who is misleket damim. No different than a pregnant woman, a nursing woman, who is not apt to see dam during those periods of time. Therefore, if they have a sighting of dam, it's unusual and would only cause prospective tuma, no retroactive tuma. So that's Rava's statement. Our Mishnah is problematic. Our Mishnah says, even when she has a sighting of dam during Yemei Ziva, there is retroactive tuma. It says, "V'lav otvine the Rava chad zimna." When we are learning this back on Daf Lamedet, when Rava made the statement, the Gemara brought a tiyupta on Rava's position over there. So hachikamina, this is what we meant to say. Lema tavi tiyupta the Rava nami meha. Let us say this is an additional refutation of Rava's position, because then if we find an answer to the first question we asked back in Lamedet, then we'll have a second problem. Meaning that it builds up a case against Rava to the point where even if you can answer one question, the other one remains a question, or it shows more evidence of the fact that Rava must be wrong. So then the Gemara says, Amalecha Rava, Rava can get out of the problem here, because Amalecha Rava, Kitani mitamam eit leit, when it's saying eit leit over here, Aresh Pirkei Inkoi. It's going back to the beginning of the Perek. So remember, when the Mishnah says mitamam eit leit, it's almost like a dangling statement, because we don't know what it references to, and we know for certain it doesn't reference to what was said immediately before it in the Mishnah. Because what was said immediately before in the Mishnah is that she has a cheskat tuma, and she has tmeya. So me'et le'et is not relevant in that statement. So once you're already saying that it's not written for the statement immediately preceding it, it can go back on any part of the Mishnah before that. We just assumed it went on the case immediately before the case that's next to it, which means two cases before the ratio of our Mishnah. That's what we assume. Rava says, once you're moving it already, say that it goes back to the earlier Mishnayot in the Perek. And earlier in the Perek, we saw that it says, Arata voda bebeit aviya, a woman who is still in her father's house and begins to have sightings of dam. Rata voda bebeit aviya, beit shomer minotim la bilat mitzvah. She only gets bilat mitzvah, beit elomrim kol alay lukula. You get the entirety of that night. So that is the statement that Rava thinks that this May 8th is going on. And now he's explaining why. goes back on the beginning. Reish Pirkin Goya Rata Beoda Bebeit Avia Sakadat Kamaina. I would have thought came to Mipsuke Luhu Yamim Torim, since she has these days of Tahara, after she already began to cite her menstrual cycle in her father's house, she has days of Tahara, Kitchilat Nida Damya, as if she's now restarting to become a Nida once again. She shouldn't have retroactive Tuma, because the first sighting of a woman of her menstrual cycle is only prospective Tuma, not retroactive Tuma. Kamash Malan, that it still is retroactive Tuma. Now, it's a strange Havamina, and that's what the Orach Taner points out over here. Why would you think that? Every woman has a days of Tahara in between the last time she saw being a Nida and the next time she sees being a Nida. So why would you then assume that the next time she has a sighting, it should be prospective and not retroactive Tuma? It's no different than any other woman who's begun to have a menstrual cycle and continues to have her menstrual cycle. She has on, off, on, off. She has Tuma, then she has no Tuma. Then she has Tuma, no Tuma. Why should this be any different? The Orach Taner makes a suggestion that the reason here you might thought otherwise is because in between, she has a sighting of Dam that is deemed Tehora. That is the Dam Betulim. So since this woman has a sighting of Dam that's deemed to be Tehora, maybe then the next sighting of Dam that makes her Tmeya is as if a new start to her menstrual cycle. It's as if it's a reset button. Because here she had a sighting, and we don't consider it to be Tmeya. Given that, maybe when she starts her Nida cycle again, it's as if she's starting afresh, anew. And that would be the Havamina, that maybe she shouldn't have retroactive Tuma. Our Mishnah comes to dispel that and say she does have retroactive Tuma if she has a sighting of Dam for a menstrual cycle after she has Dam Bitulim, or sighting of Dam Bitulim, after she already began her menstrual cycle prior to that in her father's house. In that case, the sighting after her Dam Bitulim will have Tuma be 8-8 or retroactively. So that way, it will not be a strong refutation of Rabba's position, although we still have the problem back from earlier in the Masechta. Kamiyesh Laveset. She has a fixed cycle, then there's only prospective Tuma. Neima Tavi Tuyufta de Rabuna Barchia Amar Shmuel. Let us say that this part of our Mishnah is a strong refutation of this position of Shmuel. Tam Rabuna Barchia Amar Shmuel Lomar. Shene Shakovala Veset Bimei Zivata. A woman cannot establish a cycle during her Yemei Ziva. During her Yemei Ziva, she's a Musulekit Damim. She has a sighting during Yemei Ziva, that is insufficient grounds to establish a cycle or a pattern of sighting. So now here it sounds like Im Yeshla Veset Kavua, she has a Veset Kavua and it's falling out during Yemei Ziva. Sounds like we do establish a Veset, or you can have a Veset that falls out during Yemei Ziva. So Amalacha Rabuna Barchia, will answer on behalf of Shmuel, that our mission is not a problem, because what we mean when a woman cannot establish a cycle during your meziva, that you don't require three times to undermine it. I mean that with one change from that, it will be undermined. Because we assume that her dam doesn't exist during that period of time. So even if she establishes a cycle, you can undermine that cycle very easily. Doesn't mean she doesn't have a cycle. Doesn't mean she doesn't have a pattern of seeing during that period of time. But if I assume that Damea Mesulakim, and therefore it's easy to undermine whatever pattern you have created during the Meziva, so the same thing should apply through the Kula, the came into Damea Mesulakim, Dayashata. So Su too, where she has Damea Mesulakim, if she does have a sighting, it will be Dayashata. And what Rav Huna Bar Achia says in defense of Shmuel is that this is not inconsistent with our position. Our position is that you can't establish a cycle during Yemei Ziva. That's because she is a Mesulekit Damim. So that means that even if she establishes a pattern, we will, if she continues to see on that pattern, assume that that is the case, that she has a pattern or a cycle of seeing then. But as soon as she deviates from that once, we won't assume that it exists anymore, that pattern. Why is it that we do that? Is because we assume she's Mesulekit Damim. So similarly, if she has a sighting, she also has the status of Mesulekit Damim, which means Dayashata and not retroactive Tuma. So if she does have a sighting, since she is Mesulekit Damim, and since she's established a pattern by which she can undermine it quickly, then if she does have a sighting, we're going to assume that it is Dayashata. As long as she's established the pattern three times before, then it will be Dayashata. Therefore, our Mishnah is not a problem for the position of Shmuel. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, we saw Rabbi Yehuda at the end of the Mishnah, who says you have to have a Hefsek Tahara
at the way end of the day, according to Rashi, ben Hashmashot. Tanya, Amr lo Rav Yehuda. Ilma le yadem nochot beina ko ben Hashmashot. Yafeh ata omer. It's a euphemism. If she had her finger in her eye the entire ben Hashmashot, then what you're saying makes sense. Which is a euphemism for saying that she was doing a bedika of her erva during the entire period of ben Hashmashot. Then what you're saying makes sense. Akshav, imarim siluk yada, ra'ata. But if you don't do that, then if she does a check very late in the day, you could say that she saw dam right after she finished checking. And so she could have seen dam right after she finished checking. Mali frisha betara bezayin, min amin cholamala. Mali frisha betara berishon. What would be the difference then, whether she does a check late on the seventh day, and then has a possibility that as soon as she finished checking, she saw dam. So too, if she didn't check on the first day, and she didn't see any dam, so maybe she would see dam afterwards, or vice versa. Just like the check works, benesh mashot, or late in the day of the seventh day, even though there's a possibility she could have seen dam immediately afterwards, so too her check on the first day should be sufficient, because, yeah, maybe she did see dam afterwards, but we don't worry about that. And therefore her hefsek tara on the first day should be good. Mar says, berishon mi'ikalaman damar. There's nobody who says that if you do hefsek tara on the first day, that it's okay. And our Mishnah, the most extreme opinion was the Chachamim at the end of the Mishnah who said starting on day two, if you had a hefsek tara, it would work. So we had three opinions. We had benesh mashot, we had the morning of the seventh, and then we had the morning of the second. Nobody said the morning of the first. So why are you even talking about the morning of the first? Mar says, in, we do have such opinion. Deha Tanya, we have a Braita bin Yehuta, Amar Rabbi, Shalti and Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Shimon. I was walking along with Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Shimon, Mishayu Mahalkim and Derech. We were traveling somewhere, and I asked them the following question. Nida, Shabbat Katzva Yom Zayin Shacharit, a woman who checks herself on the morning of the seventh of her 7 days of Nida, Matzah Teora, and finds herself Teora at that point, she has a Hepsek Tara, Benesh Mashot Lo Yifrisha, she doesn't check Benesh Mashot, and after a couple of days she does a check and finds herself Tamea. Mao, what is the din? This is exactly the first case of our Mishnah. Amrulo, Harizo, Bechezkat, Tara. They said to him, she has a Chezkat Tara, like the Psak of our Mishnah. Shishi, Chamishi, Rivi'i, Shlishi, Sheni, Mai. What about if it was on the sixth day, the fifth day, the fourth day, the third day, and the second day? Amrulo, they said to him, Lo Shna, doesn't make a difference. So now you see that they can even be the Chachamim at the end of the Mishnah, that they say any time back to the second day is considered to be a good Hefsek Tara. Rishon lo sha'alti. He said, I didn't go back to the first day, v'ta'iti shlo sha'alti, and I made a mistake by not asking them what happens if he did a check on the first day. Could that be a Hefsek Tara? Ato kulu la b'cheskat tuma kaime. Aren't all of these days considered to be cheskat tuma? And despite the fact that they have a Chezkat Tuma, when you do a Hefsek, it works. So then it became into Pasuk, because as soon as you identify the fact that the flow has stopped, and you no longer have a Mayan Patuach, then it becomes a Hefsek Tara. So why should it make a difference whether I did it on the second day, the seventh day, or the first day? Nothing should make a difference. So I should have asked them about the first day. Rishon Nami came into Pasuk, because on the first day too, if you stop citing Dam, then that's enough to make it that you have a Chezkat Tara, or a Hefsek Tara, and it should have worked. Umikara Maisavar. So originally, why didn't he ask them the question back to day one? What was his Havamina not to ask about day one, where later in his life he regrets not asking it and saying, I think it would have been, Aloha would have been, that even on the first day it would have worked. So the Gemara says, Hoyo Nechukstak Mayan Patua. Because the first day is when she establishes becoming a Nida. She became a Nida on the first day. Therefore, she has a Mayan Patuah. She is flowing with Dam. So he thought, once she's flowing with Dam, you can't make it into a day of Hefsek Tara, because she had a Mayan Patuah. We have to give her at least one day, where we classify her as having a Chezkat Tuma, because her Mayan is Patuah. And therefore, the first day is out of the question. Only starting the second day can you do Hefsek Tara, because then you've finished possibly a Mayan Patuah. Later on in life, Rabbi said, I don't see any difference. Even if you declare the first day Mayan Patuah, it could be that she stopped. Just like by the second day she could have stopped, so too in the middle of the first day she could have stopped, and that could have been a sufficient Hefsek Tara. So you see from this that Rabbi believes that had he asked Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Shimon the question about the first day, they would have given him the answer in the affirmative, and that it would have been a good Hefsek Tara. And that's what it seems that Rabbi holds. Even on the first day you can do an Hefsek Tara.
Although the Rambam doesn't paskin this way, Rambam paskins that the first day is Mayan Patuah, and therefore it's like this Havamina of Rabbi. Since he didn't ask the question and he didn't get the answer, the only evidence we have is from day two and onward, and that's the position that's found in our Mishnah, which is 2 days and onward. We don't find the position of 1 day and onward, although the commentators on the Rambam note that it seems from here that Rabbi actually did believe that the first day was considered to be a good Hefsek Tara, and that he would have paskin that way, and therefore there are those that paskin against the Rambam's position that the first day is considered to be a Mayan Patuach, and you can even have Hefsek Tara on the first day. As far as Rabbi Yehuda is concerned, of course, Rabbi Yehuda, the answer to what the Chachamim say over here is, Ein Ochanami. Rabbi Yehuda requires Hefsek Tara during that entire period of Ben HaShemashot in order for it to be efficacious. And that way you have for sure a Hefsek Tara, and you have no chashash that maybe she cited Dam afterwards because you didn't check throughout the Ben HaShemashot period. Now, Tosfo points out that Rabbi Yossi, earlier in the Masechta, seems to indicate that a woman needs a Hefsek Tara Ben HaShemashot in order to get rid of her Cheskat Tuma by Nida, which would be in contradiction to what he suggests over here. So in order to reconcile that, the Baal HaTosafot differentiate between Rabbi Yossi's position and Rabbi Yehuda's position, which is, over here, in our case in the Mishnah, there was a check on the morning of the 7th. And therefore, she already established a Cheskat Tara. In that situation, Rabbi Yossi will not require that you do another check, Ben HaShemashot, in order to establish the Cheskat Tara. It's sufficient that you've already established a Cheskat Tara, that will persist, and therefore you don't need an additional check, Ben HaShemashot. Whereas, if you saw Dam when you checked on the morning of the 7th, and you've established a Cheskat Tuma, then Rabbi Yossi requires a Cheskat Tara Ben HaShemashot, a check Ben HaShemashot, to undermine that Cheskat Tuma, and to make it into a Hefsek Tara. So Rabbi Yossi agrees with Rabbi Yehuda, only in a case where you find that the woman is Tmeya on that morning. Since you've established the day as a day of Tuma, in order to change that or have Hefsek Tara, you need it during the Ben HaShemashot period. Absent that, meaning like in the case where you checked on the 7th morning and you find her Torah, you won't need it. And that's why the Gemara here is only questioning Rabbi Yehuda's position about checking Ben HaShemashot and not challenging Rabbi Yossi's position about Ben HaShemashot. Because Rabbi Yossi's position about Ben HaShemashot makes sense that you would have to wait Ben HaShemashot because she has a Cheskat Tuma according to Rabbi Yossi because she saw Dam in that morning. But he agrees if you didn't see Dam that morning, you had a Hefsek Tara in the morning, then you don't need another Hefsek Tara during Ben HaShemashot, whereas Rabbi Yehuda says you need another Hefsek Tara Ben HaShemashot. And that's why Rabbi Yehuda's position is much more problematic, and that's why the Gemara challenges it over here. All right, next Mishnah. Hazav vezava shebatku atzman beyom rishon umatsu taor. The Zav and the Zava, who both require shivinikim, so on the first day of their shivinikim, they did a check, and they found that they were torim. No sighting of Dam for the Zava, no sighting of Ziva for the Zav. Ubiyom ha-shvi'i umatsu taor. The next check they do is on the 7th day, and they find themselves teorim. All the interim days between day 1 and day 7, they did no checking. Rabbi Eliezer Omer, Ayein b'chezkat Tara. They finished their Shiva Nikim. Because even Rabbi Eliezer agrees, you have to delineate the 7 days. You have to create a chefza of days that you counted. And you can only do that if you have a day 1 and a day 7. So at minimum, Rabbi Eliezer requires you to do a check on day 1 and day 7, and then we can assume, connect the dots, that everything in between was Torah, and therefore you have Shiva Nikim. But he agrees, if you only did a check on the first day, or you only did a check on the 7th day, that would not be sufficient to create Zayin Nikim, because we need Sforim Lefanecha, you have to have days that you're counting, and counting days for Nikim means you need a start point and an end point. So you have to do at least day 1 and day 7, but Rabbi Eliezer says once you've done that, we can extrapolate between the two, and you have Shiva Nikim. Bishua Meir, Ein Lam El Yom Rishon V'Yom Shvi'i Bavad. Bishua says, you get day 1, day 7, and that's it. Meaning that day 1 will be your first day of Shiva Nikim, day 7 will be day 2, and now you gotta count another 5 days onward from here. Bishua Meir, Ein Lam El Yom Zayin Bavad. It says, you only get the 7th day. The first day that you did the check for is not meaningful. The 7th day becomes your first day, and you need an additional 6 days of Yomei Nikim. Tanya, Amar lo Rabbi Eliezer Rabbi Yeshua. Rabbi Eliezer says Rabbi Yeshua, l'dvarecha ata moneh b'sirugin. According to you, you end up counting in a haphazard manner. You counted the first day of Shiva Nikim on day 1, and then on day 7, that's the second day of Shiva Nikim. What about the 5 days in the interim? You skip them. You're doing it out of order. But Torah Amra, the Torah says, Achar Tidar, says by the Zava Gedola, Im Tara Mizova V'Safra La Shivat Yamim V'Achar Tidar, says you count the full 7 days, and then become Tahor. Achar means Achar Lukulan, after she counted all the days. Shalai Tuma Mefsekin Benehem, that there should be no interruption of Tuma in between. So what Rabbi Eliezer is saying to Rabbi Yeshua is Mimonofsha. Explain to me your opinion. If you believe that there was Tuma in between day one and day seven, then day one shouldn't count at all. If you're willing to count day one, that means you don't think there was any Tuma between day one and day seven. Well, if that's the case, why isn't she have Shiva Nikim at this point in time? You can't have it both ways. You can't have it be that we assume there is Tuma, therefore you can't count all 7 days. But then I'll count day one and day seven because day one doesn't exist if there was Tuma Ben time. So if that's the case, he says, I don't understand your opinion. You are taking a self-contradictory position, which is you're not allowing her to count the interim days because of Tuma, but then you're allowing her to count day one, even though there was a possibility of Tuma in between. Amalo Rabbi Yeshua, Vataita Modeh Bezav, Shira Keri, Ubenazir, Shelach, Sochachot, Uparot, Shimoneh Beserugin. He says, Einochanami, I think you can count Beserugin, and I have evidence of that. First of all, I have evidence of that by a Zav. A Zav who has a sighting of Keri during his Shimonikim, as we learned earlier, he suspends 1 day of his Shimonikim, then he continues the Shimonikim afterwards. Had he a sighting of Ziva, that would undermine his Shimonikim. As the sighting of Shechvat Zera, that only undermines 1 day of the Shimonikim. But that exactly what it's turning out to be over here. It undermines 1 day. You count the days before, you count the days afterwards. You get the Shimonikim, even though it's not done in a consecutive manner, even though it's done by skipping a day in between. And similarly, by a Nazir Tameh, a Nazir who becomes Tameh, Tumat Tameh, Vadai, he has to then be Mitaher himself. He has to go through the process of Tara. He has to go through the process of Tara. He has to bring the korbanot of a Nazir Tameh. And then he restarts his whole count of Nizirut. The days that he had before are gone, and now he starts a whole new Nizirut again. Over here is a Safek Tuma. The Sachachot and Parot, which we discussed earlier in the Masechta, back on Daf 9 Zayin Amud Aleph, where the Gemara over there explains the Sachachot and the Parot that were found in the Mishnah, that these are Tuma de Rabbanan, when you have a tree that is Mahil around that area, or you have a stone that is protruding from a fence in an area where there's some sort of safek as to what was buried over there. Back there we discussed all the different opinions in the Rishonim as to what exactly was the safek and the issue. But those are tumot midrabanan, where there's suspicion that you might have become tamei tumat ol, but there's no certainty of you becoming tamei tumat ol, and therefore you're only really tamei tumat tamei midrabanan, not midoraita. So he entered into this safek tuma, which is really only a tuma midrabanan. The Rashi says, in this case of the Nazir, of Sechot and Parot, that it only eliminates 1 day of the count of Nizirut, and then you go back to counting your Nizirut. On the other hand, most of the Rishonim believe that you have a suspension for the 7 days, why you become Tahor, from the Tumat Tameit, which is a Safek Tumat Oel Midrabanan, that suspends the Nizirut for those 7 days, and then you continue the count afterwards. Rashi believes it's only suspended for 1 day, which seems strange as to why you would pick 1 day. And that's why all the other Rishonim favor saying 7 days. So over there, the Chachamim said that he has to become Tahor from that Tuma, but as soon as he becomes Tahor, he continues his count in Nizirut. So he basically gets a 7-day suspension in the middle to become Tahor from this Tuma, and then he continues counting his Nizirut as if nothing happened. So Munev Sigurim, that there you're allowed to count in a manner that is not consecutive, but Torah Amra, even though the Torah says, Vayamim Rishonim Yiplu, the first days go away when you become Tamei, Tumat Tameit, and it's a restart. So how come we allow you to become Tahor from your Tumat Tameit and then continue counting as if nothing happened? So there's another example of counting, even though there was a hefsek in the middle. So I just brought you two examples of where that's the case, and so too over here. So Rabbi Eliezer, Bishlama Hatam, by the case of Keri, it says, L'tama ba, Amar Rachmana, She'eno Soteret Elo Yoma. So the terminology, the Tama Ba, is used by Shechvat Zera at the end of the Parshia where it says, Zot Torat HaZav, Vasher Tetzei Mimeno Shechvat Zera, the Tama Ba. The Tuma is the same over there
as it is in another place, which is, what is the Tumah Shechvat Zeretz? Tumat Yom. So just like the Shechvat Zeretz Tumat Yom, so too its undermining of the Shivinikim is only for that single day. Sheino Soteret Ela Yoma. It only undermines its day itself. So that's why by Balkari, it doesn't matter, or why it's allowed, it's because you have a Gezeret HaKatuv that tells you otherwise. If you think you're going to get it mixed up, if we allow you to only skip one day by Keri, then you're going to also do the same thing when he has a setting of Ziva. Says Zav Balkari Lo Michlap. People all mix up Shechvat Zera with Ziva. They're two different emissions. They have two different halachot. People are not going to get confused. Just because you suspend one day because of Keri, they're not going to think if you have a setting of Ziva, you also suspend one day. That's not an issue. Nazir Sheilech HaGabis Chachot Uparot Nami. The Nazir that went into these places that have Safek Tumat Oel Midra Banan. So there, Midoraita Mina Torah Oel Ma'al Yabinan. Midra Torah, only if he's Badai Tumat Tameh Tumat Tameh, meaning that he is Tameh Tumat Oel Mina Torah, then it undermines it. That's why Yamim HaRishonim Yiplu. Rabbanan Ud Gozor. The Rabbanan were Gozer by Skachot and Parot, which are these Tumot Midra Banan. We have a Chashash of Oel over there. They were gozer that you have tumat amet. Rabbanan bidoraita lo michlev. And we don't worry about the fact that you'll get mixed up. Over there, if we allow you to do tara for 7 days and then continue your count of nizirut, we won't get that mixed up with the possibility if you become tamet tumat doraita that it undermines your days of counting. Avahacha, ichashina dima chazai bisafek ate lechluve bevadai. According to you, where you're worried about the fact that he possibly could have seen Tumah in between, and therefore it shouldn't be allowed to be counted those interim days, then people will mix that up with a Vadai sighting. Because here the sighting's the same sighting. It's a sighting of Zava or Ziva during those interim days between check day 1 and the check of day 7. And we're saying, don't count those days because maybe you saw. Well, then people are going to think the same thing. When you really saw, they also say, we won't count those days and we'll just continue afterwards. And there you would be, ate lechlufe. So I don't understand your position. Again, I understand by Nazir. I understand there's a pasuk that says, if you come to mate, tumat amet, undermines everything. And here, the chachamim have tumat amet, and yet they don't undermine everything. I understand why that is the case. And I understand why you would not worry about people mixing it up, because it's tumat derabanan versus tumat deoraita. By Zav and Balkari, again, you have a pasuk in the Torah that tells you that a Balkari is only Tameh for one day and only undermines the Shivinikim for one day. And I'm not worried that if someone sees that, they're going to think if I had a setting of Ziva, the din is the same, because Balkari and Ziva are two different worlds. But in your scenario, where you are Choshesh L'Tumah for the 5 interim days, therefore you're not allowed to count them, then how's a person going to know the difference between that, oh, it's a Safek Tumah or Vadai Tumah, it's the same Tumah, it's Tumat Ziva, it's Tumat Safek Ziva Midoraita, or Tumat Vadai Ziva Midoraita. Either way, it should be a problem. If it's a problem and people are going to mix it up, you should be undermining the count of the 5 days in between, and therefore, if you're worried about the 5 days, you should also eliminate the first day, and you should only count starting on the 7th day. Tani, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Shimon Amrei. Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Shimon say about this, Nirin Divrei Rabbi Eliezer, Mi Divrei Rabbi Yoshua. That Rabbi Eliezer's position makes more sense than Rabbi Yoshua, for exactly the reason that Rabbi Eliezer challenges Rabbi Yoshua's position. Mi Divrei Rabbi Akiva, Mi Divrei Kulan. And the position of Rabbi Akiva seems to make the most sense, which is that you only get to count the last day. That's as if you're starting a new set of Shivinikim, and that's it. Aval, Alocha Ki Rabbi Eliezer. Despite that, the logic dictates that Rabbi Eliezer is better than Rabbi Yoshua, and Rabbi Akiva is better than both of them. Nevertheless, the Gemara Paskins like Rabbi Eliezer. And if Tosfot points out, even though we generally believe Ein Lemidim Alocha Mipi Hashas, over here, we do hold like Rabbi Eliezer, because the Gemara early on, back on Dav Zayin, this is one of the 4 places that the Gemara believes that Alocha Ki Rabbi Eliezer. And therefore, Rabbi Eliezer's position stands, which is that when you check on the first day and the 7th day, that's enough to get you Shivinikim. We would not allow you to do this Lechatfila, but in extenuating circumstances where that was the only check she did, Bediavad, or in situations where the woman has difficulty in establishing the Shivinikim, and it's only a Chumari Derabanan, you can possibly get dispensations in these extenuating circumstances to only check on the first and
seventh day, but that's something that needs to be conferred with a competent rav to know when that is possible. But that is the way we pass an halacha, that the halacha is like Rabbi Eliezer. All right, we're going to stop here, two lines from the bottom of Samechet Amud Bet.